You know what I've told my children about, and they've not yet asked for a demonstration, is your elbow.
Oh, yes.
Your party trick.
My stupid human trick?
Yeah.
My bendy, bendy elbow.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
I can reach further around back than most normal people, like this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, okay.
Right? Like, yeah, that does look like I broke my arm.
Thank you.
Oh, gross.
Mary finally sees what we see. Has no one shown you?
No, no one's ever taken a picture of my bendy arm. Oh, wow.
Hello, and welcome to The Homestay Kitchen with me, Mary Chan, and Aaron Eastman. This is a podcast where we serve up stories of being a homestay family, the ups and downs of making a connection with international homestay students. We'll bring a plate full of stories, ideas, interviews, and hopefully dish up some anecdotes to share with our community.
Hi, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for listening to The Homestay Kitchen. We really appreciate it. We love hearing from you, so please drop us an email at homestaykitchen@gmail.com and let us know what you want to know about. What are some of your biggest questions about homestay, about Aaron, about me, about anything you want to know? We'd love to hear it at homestaykitchen@gmail.com. We'd love to cover some of your questions on maybe a feedback episode coming up. But on today's episode, we are talking about Mother's Day. Here, where we are in North America and Canada, and also in a large portion of the world, Mother's Day is May the 12th. And to mark this occasion, we are giving examples of how we mother our international students. Or not mother them, sometimes in my case. It really depends on the situation, the student's needs, and your own parenting views. Whether you actually have your own kids or not, because I started this whole homestay thing even before having my own kid, you are still a homestay parent to a student. And this does come with some responsibilities. So in this episode, we share our stories of Aaron's way versus my way of being a homestay mom. And of course, the unexpected journeys it takes us on. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to my living room.
Yes, we're usually at my house, but now we're at your house today because you have a sick child.
Yes, who is being very quiet. She's here somewhere.
And nobody can hear her. Yeah, she's being so sweet.
She was jumping up and down earlier in the sunroom while dancing. And I'm like, get it out of your system. Mary's coming and the microphone will be here. Oh. And she said, oh, please tell me when she gets here.
But it's just all part of being a mom.
And sick days happen.
And sick days happen.
And we adjust.
And it is, if you were listening to this on the day it is released, then it is Mother's Day this coming weekend. And I thought about, well, is there a difference being a mom to your own kids versus being a mom to an international student? Do you see if there is a difference?
Well, I think we try to treat them like our own kids, but at the same time, you are parenting somebody else's child.
Yeah, like that child still has parents somewhere else in the world. And so what's that fine line?
It is a fine line. And I think we do parent with more respect. You know what I mean? Like,
no, explain that. More respect? How?
Well, I think we're respectful of culture. We're respectful of that there is another set of parents involved.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
That their wishes, what they're studying or what universities they're going to and how much time they're studying. Like, say, for instance, a Japanese culture, there's a lot more studying in terms of we spoke about it, I think, when Yoko was here, that, you know, there's summer school and Japanese school and all of this school and
studying.
Yeah,
they don't get a break after
regular
school.
There's not much of a break. Mm-hmm. And so we're respectful of those choices and how we're raising children and stuff like that. That might not be what I would choose for my own children, but I'm respectful of that.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So that's what I mean by with
more respect.
I'm not going to stomp on their choices and disparage what they're choosing for their children and stuff like that, but or say anything putting down that in any way, but with respect for everybody involved.
Well, for me, it's always been different because I had no kids I started. So I didn't really know what it was like to be a mom. I was just kind of there answering questions and sharing how I would have dealt in a situation with a student. But then now having Kira, it's flipped a little bit where I feel like, okay, maybe they do need a bit more hands-on help, but maybe they don't because I get older students.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I need to mother them in any way. I do want to make sure that they're safe. I do want to make sure that they're comfortable in the house, that they feel respected and comforted and all of that stuff. So I guess there is that part of mothering to it. But I also find that because I have a 3-year-old that I'm constantly with her and I don't have that extra time to mother mm-hmm. a student. Mm-hmm. The student just needs to know the bare basics. And if they have mm-hmm. further questions, they can come to me. So I don't feel like I mother my students.
Right. But you're there and available and mm-hmm. they can seek you out and mm-hmm. you hope that they do.
Yeah.
I feel like, do you go into their space much? Like,
no,
I don't. I don't go into their rooms ever.
I tell them that too, straight up. Yeah. Like, this is your room. This is your space. Mm-hmm. We are respectful of it. We will not come in here unless we've asked you. Well, except for I tell them we will come in here when we clean. And those days are every Tuesday we'll come in and clean.
Oh, so, you clean the room.
Yeah. Well, because of the concussion I had, yeah. I have a cleaner that comes to the house because I still can't bend down.
Yeah.
And mop and scrub the tub and that sort of thing. And my vacuum's really, really heavy.
Oh,
so yeah, I can't really vacuum with my bad back. And so the cleaner comes every Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
And so I just say to the student, yep, every Tuesday, just make sure there's nothing on the floor. I will make sure she will just come in and just vacuum the floor for you. But bed sheets, laundry, cleaning the place tidy, that is up to you. Mm-hmm. It is your responsibility. And again, most of them are adults, so you take care of the space. If they happen to have the door open, then I can peek in because the student room in my house is right next to Kira's room. I could constantly look in if I needed to, but I do check in if the door is cracked open just to make sure it's tidy and that there's not a bunch of junk on the floor and things like that. And just to make sure that, I don't know, the room is still in its place.
That everything is, yeah, as it should be. Yeah. And there's like,
yeah, there was one time we had installed a new curtain rod just before the student arrived. So I think John put in a new screw in an existing drywall hole and it was a little loose. I think she was only here for about a month and she kept her door closed the entire time. So I never saw anything in there. And she didn't really say much to us about anything was ever wrong with the room. After she had left, I realized that middle screw that holds the curtain had fallen over and the curtain is actually like really loose and she didn't mention anything, which, I mean, I wouldn't have said, oh, you need to pay for that. That's just something that we did.
That was kind of faulty.
That was faulty, exactly. I'm like, well, that was us, sorry. But she never mentioned it to us. But if I had known, I would have gotten it fixed. I don't even know when it happened. Maybe it was the first week she was here. So she was here for a whole month with a faulty curtain, you know?
Yeah.
So I always say to my students, like, if something is broken, it's not necessarily you broke it. It's just I would love to have it fixed so that it doesn't get any worse and it can help make your stay a lot nicer. Their room is their space. Mm-hmm. I let them know that.
Yeah. I think the only people that end up going in their rooms, to be honest, are their children. And that's because they seek them out and want to play with them.
Yes. But I always say to my students,
you can kick them out. Yeah, say no.
Say no. Close the door on them.
Like it. They do. Our girls do enjoy it. And Fiona was down there coloring the other day with our Italian student. So they like kids. That's one of the things living with us. They do like kids.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a family here.
Yeah. The student that I just got, she had told me too that she wants to be part of the family. She wants to help out where she can and she loves to cook. With her, it seems like I don't want to do any mothering because mm-hmm. she's an adult. She is an older student. She has traveled the world. She is very independent. And so I'm not going to do any of that. Like, I want to make sure she is safe. And I've mm-hmm. told her that when it was her first day, I said, you know, just let me know what time you'll be coming home, because she didn't know what her full schedule, her day was going to be like until she got to the school to figure out what her course schedule was going to be. And yeah, she was just like, okay, yeah, I'll make sure, I'll let you know. And yeah, I don't feel like I need to do any quote unquote mothering with her, you know, unless she starts asking a whole bunch of questions, then I might be like, oh, okay, she might need some more help in this area, or she might need more advice. But I think that's really the only mothering thing that I would do for her.
Okay. I do a ton of mothering.
Well, I have high school students.
And so, like, yeah, it's so important for me that my students feel safe and that they know that they're welcome and that they're loved and beloved. Mm-hmm. And yep. I think my children help immensely with that they are loved and beloved mm-hmm. as well. Like, we're such a family here, and
right.
there are immediately sisters, right?
Yes.
Like, they are sisters, but that they're supported if they're worried or anxious, or they have had a frustrating day and they need to come home, and it's a safe space. They can vent. They're heard and listened to and supported if needed, if they have a problem at school with a teacher or feel that they need to be issue sorted out in some way, or even just need to be heard, and we can work out an issue at the table and how would I handle this situation, or how do I best move forward in that type of situation.
Right,
we can work through that as a family, or even with the host sister is a great, you know, that's where it really comes in handy, doing two students. They have mm-hmm. a peer and they can bounce ideas off of each other, or it's spring. So sometimes we're talking about boys at the table. You know, like, there's a spring fever. It's a thing. And Carter's getting this massive education on girls and how girls think. And, you know, we're remembering back to our high school days and Blake, and it's just like,
I know, I'm like thinking, I don't know if I can handle that, because I haven't dealt with that situation since I was a teenager.
Me either. But
and that's like half a lifetime, more than half a lifetime ago. Oh my gosh.
Right? Right.
Wow.
And you'll remember this story, but you and I, we worked with a coworker who was dating this girl, and they were in a very committed kind of relationship. And she was bugging him kind of for a while about getting engaged. He was just like, oh, no, this had gone on for some time. And then he came to work one day and he's, oh, it's great. Yeah, I don't have to worry about getting engaged. She doesn't want babies. We agreed we're not going to have babies for like 3 years or something like that. And how I explained to him, oh, what? And you're okay with that? Because what she's really saying to you, if that's what you've agreed to, is that usually how that works is you get engaged and you're engaged for a year, and then you get married and you're, you know, happily married for some time, and then you're trying, and sometimes that can take some time, and then you're pregnant, and then that takes like, you know, like 10 months.
Yeah.
And then if you really do the math, what she's really saying is that you need to like propose within the next 6 months. Like, if you do the math.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
I remember that floored him. I was in the room when you told him that.
And his eyes bugged open and his jaw dropped. And he's like, what? And then he went home and he discussed this with his partner. And he came back to work the next day. And he's like, oh my God, she says you're the smartest woman ever. But how, like, there is this language of boys and girls, and how you can each be thinking that you're saying the same thing, and the partner would be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But and at our dinner table, it's kind of decoding boys and girls and what, how, you know what I mean?
Like, yes, decoding the boy and girl language
that's been going on a little bit. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I guess mothering really does come into play with that.
Mothering comes into play with that. But
do you play mediator, or are you just spewing out ideas and helpful tips?
Tips and joking. Yeah.
Yeah, joking.
But like relaying a story like that.
The other things about being a mom that I didn't really realize to an international student.
Mm-hmm.
When I did have my one high school student that I had, the one thing I was unsure about hosting a high school student was, well, do I have to do all the student teacher, student-led conference things? Do I have to go to those things? Do I have to go and deal with, I don't know, like just school program things? The one thing that I did get into that I had no idea that they put my email address in was the notification system. So when like they skip school.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're late.
Yeah.
You get all of those. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to deal with this now.
Yeah. And you can be like, So, sweetie, tell me about Block D. What happened? Why weren't you there? So, yeah, you do get the notifications of that. And if they're sick, you should be notifying them that they're sick. And oftentimes, yes. My girls will contact me and let me know that they're not feeling well and can they please come home? And the school will ask that they sign themselves out and that I also call or email and give my permission that they can come home. And so that's what's great about being, you know, these lovely little devices. I'm holding a phone in my hand, like the WhatsApp or the line or however we choose to communicate with our students, that they can reach me. And so I can right away say, oh, yes, please do come home if you're not feeling well. Because with my own children, one who's home today,
there you go.
If you're not feeling well, please do come home and rest up and feel better. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do that and ask them, are you well enough or do I need to come get you? And if I can, they're usually the bus stop. It's right outside the door. It's faster for them to come home immediately. Mm-hmm. But if they weren't well enough, I would go get them.
Well, then is there anything unexpected that you didn't realize you would have to do as a mom for an international student?
Well, I think I know what you're asking me here. Yeah, there was the time that there was a student with a tummy ache and she didn't realize the reason her tummy was hurting. I taught her about ovulation.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, you know, we're determining where does your tummy hurt? Okay, it's just on the one side. All right. And then you're a mom and you're like, okay, well, and it's very low. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where are you in your cycle? What do you mean? Okay, well, you know how every month as a woman, your menstrual cycle, and we would determine probing questions, I'm sorry, but where she was and tracking and talked about apps that she could use going forward and taught her about a little bit more about menstruation and ovulation. And I brought out my big book, Mary, my big book. It's a great big book. It's called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. And it's by Toni Weschler. I will put the link in.
Yes, that is a very, very good book.
Yeah, it's informative. Parts of it are really icky, but you take from it what you need.
Yep.
And it's really good and covers a lot about ovulation and the signs. And yeah, some of it is kind of gross, but...
And it's not like you're teaching her how to get pregnant, because that's why a lot of people do read this book. Mm-hmm. That was one of the main reasons why people pick it up. But it's just knowing your own body and what these signs are and what they mean and how you can help alleviate that, right? It's just about your health.
It's body science is what it is. It's body science. Yes. And you're right. Some people pick it up who are trying to conceive because it is about, you know, charting and body science and knowing the signs, and people use it for trying to conceive. People use it to try not to conceive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. But it's really good for knowing the signs of ovulation. And so I showed her just these pages if you want, sweetie.
Yeah.
If you want to explore more, here you go. You're welcome to. But these are the pages for around ovulation and would be helpful. So yeah, I taught her about that, the signs of ovulation and what that meant for her tummy pain, and that would be normal for it to move to the other side for next month, and things that she could do to alleviate her tummy pain. I know I've talked about it on here before, but I make all of my girls big giant lavender scented rice bag that they can microwave. And it's for that reason, is to alleviate the menstrual pain.
Do you think that was something you thought you would ever have to do with a student?
That I would have to teach her that? No, that came up and I just dealt with it in the moment. I never thought I would have to do that. But I have girls of my own. This is all really, really good training for me. You know what I mean? This is good training for me. My own children right now in their school are learning about body science and paving the way for puberty talks and stuff like that. And I'm sure I will have to give some sexual education talks to them in the future. And, you know, like, it's all really laying good groundwork for me for that, the big talk coming up. And if any students need the big talk, the Island Sexual Health has a great website, and beyondthetalk.ca. If anybody has questions about that, they do have, and I'll put the link up, they do have a texting service where if you have questions, they will answer questions accurately and confidentially. So if any student out there hasn't had the talk, you can get your questions answered. I'll put the link up in our show notes.
Really nice mothering thing for you to do.
Thank you. Well, you just don't know who knows what.
Yeah, true enough.
There you go.
Yeah. And you're not shy about it. Like, people think, oh, it's so awkward. Oh my gosh, I don't want to talk about this. But how are you so confident with that?
I just think you have to be approachable, and it is just science. I don't know. Like, it's not like I really want to talk about it. But with my own children, I'd rather they talk to me than going and seeking, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I want to be the parent that they feel confident and comfortable to coming to with questions.
No matter what it is.
And in our policy, our household policy is you tell the truth. You don't get in trouble if you tell the truth. You will get in trouble for lying. And I'm paving the way with my teens now too, as well. Like, if you're in trouble, just call. We'll come get you. Just call us. And around that, like, we just want people to feel safe and talking about their feelings. And even if, no matter what the feelings are, like if it's depression or if it's mental health issues, whatever it is, this is a safe place. And so sometimes the issues may not be easy.
Yeah.
And I kind of think, like, talking about, you know, sexual education, it may not be easy, but we're approachable and we'll work through it.
Do you feel like that's going above and beyond an international host mom?
I don't think so, because it's mothering.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's above and beyond. I think that's what you sign up for.
Yeah.
Especially when you take on teenagers.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just part of being in the family and part of life and growing up and being a teenager.
Yeah. Having said that, they're not to go out there and be having sex. This is like I'm being very firm on that. Like, this is just education. Ovulation is education. People ovulate, but you know what I mean? I'm not handing out condoms in any way. Like, no, there's none of that going on in my house. I'm just prefacing that. Like, they're not dating. This isn't happening. But yeah, it's just education.
Yeah. Okay. Stomach ache. Let's figure out what's causing of the stomach ache. Because it's not always what you ate.
Yeah. You want to talk about a boy? We can talk about a boy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, about making them feel comfortable. And that's just part of being in a community, in a family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think there are times when, like, they did wish their own mothers were here, and we are filling that role, right? Like, the times when they are sick, especially, or homesick. Students have experienced homesickness for sure, and we're filling that role. I did have a student who lost a family member, a cherished family member, when she was here and was grieving.
Yeah.
So in those times, you just lean in and be close and give space. And that time she wanted the couch and rather than being downstairs and in her room, just to be up and with us and sleeping on the couch. And if that meant we cuddled with her on the couch and watched Netflix and helped feel better, then that's what we do. But yeah, there are times when they wish their own mothers were here, for sure.
Yeah. And you can't do much about that.
No.
Except for supporting them in what they want and need at the moment.
Mm-hmm. We talked about the burrito incident where we stole Yoko's lunch.
Oh, yes.
So when there are times that they've forgotten their lunch, if I can, I will drive it up there. Or, you know, if they ask me, our bus is late, can you get us to school on time? If I can say yes, I put on my supermom cape and I will, like, drop a child off at the school and then rush them to their school and then rush a child back to preschool and make it happen. If I can make it happen, I will. Like, you just do it.
Yeah. You are a good mom.
Oh, thank you. So are you.
Well, I think sometimes, well, if you're late, you're late. That's your own fault. You gotta take the bus. Well, you're like, if I can, I'm gonna take you. We have different styles.
Everyone mothers their own way.
Exactly.
To each their own.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
Yeah. I'm not saying, like, one is better than the other. I just like talking about how you do things so differently from the way I do things. And I've always known that. Like, you and I are very opposite in so many ways. But that's why we get along so well, I think.
I think it's complementary.
Yeah.
And we each get different lessons, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's parenting. Everyone will do it their own way. One doesn't make the other right or wrong.
Yeah, we're never judging each other. It's just, I always like to take a little bit of something that you've done and then spin it in my own way of doing something.
It's like cherry picking, right? Oh, yeah. I like how she did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember the story that you told about when Kira forgot her stuffy on the bus.
Oh, yeah. Well, you forgot it. Lesson learned. What would you have done in that situation?
See, here's the thing. Your child, I think, is more resilient than mine. If one of my children had forgotten the stuffy, if Fiona had forgotten her stuffy on the bus, I don't think she would have moved from that pavement.
Oh, jeez.
The meltdown, the crying, the wailing, I don't think it would have ruined the rest of the day. I don't think I could have endured it. I think you're raising a more resilient daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so you would have done something totally different because if it would have been Fiona, if it would have been Violet, it would have been a different situation too.
Exactly. So I don't know that I could have made it wait that long to produce the stuffy.
We made her wait 24 hours because John had it in his backpack. If you missed that episode, John had the stuffy, like we were getting ready to leave the bus and she took off without the stuffy and he noticed it. And so he hid it in his backpack and pretended that he will go to Lost and Found the next day. But we had to wait the 24 hours until he, quote unquote, went to Lost and Found and got the stuffy back. But she was fine. She knew that that's what she had to do and that it was her mistake and that she hoped that we could get the stuffy back. And we did. And she was so happy. And now she knows never to leave her stuffies around.
So anyway, I just don't know if I could be as brave as you, Mary.
Well, I think that was more John.
Because but you both committed to it. You were both committed to it. You're committed parents. I just don't know that I could do that. I think one of us would have cracked.
No, we had a pact. When we got home, I said, well, you know, we can't give it to her now.
No.
There's no way. You told her Lost and Found the next day. So that's what we have to do. And she didn't ever whine or complain really about it after. She did mention it. Like we were going to bed, right? And she wanted her stuffy. But she says, I know Ducky is not here. Ducky's at the Lost and Found. I said, hopefully at the Lost and Found, because you're hoping that somebody was nice enough to turn it in, because you don't always find something in the Lost and Found. Sometimes if you lose it, it's gone forever. And she just looked at me and she's like, yep, okay.
Oh my God. Like I'm feeling like just the heartbreak all over again for her.
Anyway, we got a little sidetracked there about being a mom to our own kids.
But it's about the cherry picking. Yeah.
It's about the cherry picking.
I liked how you handled that situation. I just don't know that I would be brave enough to do it.
You need to commit.
You need to commit.
You tell your child one thing and you better stick with that. Otherwise, they'll know and they will tear you apart for the next time something happens.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, if you want to get your kid to eat vegetables, man, make them pretend they're a dog. And remember that?
You told me that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Going through a phase of not eating vegetables. Or no, actually not vegetables, just food in general.
Yeah. Just like sit, stay here, boy. Okay, there you go.
You know what? I did commit to that this morning. It was a different situation. It was the student's first day.
Oh.
And
don't make the student be the dog.
No. So the student wanted to leave early. She wanted to leave the house at the same time with us because she wanted to just go downtown first and check everything out and get her nerves settled before she got to school. And I said, oh, that's such a great idea. It's a beautiful day for sure. Because I was coming here, I needed to carry all my gear. And so I had my backpack full of gear, but I still had a backpack for her. Two backpacks, like her little tiger backpack that she likes that barely has anything in there. And then her backpack of like her, she brought her rubber boots home. So I had to pack them back in and like her water bottle, which is heavy for her. But she wouldn't carry any of her bags.
She wanted you to be the Sherpa?
Yeah. And my rule is no, if you can carry it, you're carrying it. Like, and then I was like, oh, but Kira, look, I have my bag.
Yeah.
Can you help?
Yeah.
And then the student says, I have my bag too. Look, I have two bags that I have to carry for school. Can you carry the one bag? And she was so helpful and really trying to get Kira to get the backpack so we can get to school. Come on, she's got to catch a bus and we got to go. But Kira's just like, no, I don't want to. And she put her back towards the door so that we couldn't even leave the house or even get a backpack onto her. I was like, oh my gosh. The student's just looking at me like, what do we do? What do we do? And you,
me,
your voice came into my head.
I love that. What did I do?
About committing and being an animal or something.
Yes.
So then I just thought, oh, commit. Got to be goofy. Got to be silly. Kira, because I know she loves to play tag right now. do you want to play tag on the way to school? Because we were walking. And she's like, yes. I'm like, well, I can't play tag until you have your tiger backpack on because I need to see your tiger backpack and tag the backpack. And she's like, okay. And she got the tiger backpack on.
Yes. Parenting high five. Yes. Good job, Mary.
Yep. And the student was ready to go. She's like, yes. I'm like, I know. I can't believe that worked.
That's so good. Good job, Mary.
Yes. So the student and I got Kira out the door. And then here we are.
Amazing job.
Because I had that your voice in my head.
Wow.
Right? Cherry picking. It wasn't about the food, but I just took your idea and your thought and I just translated it into this backpack and was like, full on, I'm excited. We're going to play tag. Yay! You want to play tag?
Make it positive.
Oh my gosh. It worked.
Amazing. It's so like thanks. The Simon Says of food.
Yeah.
Simon Says, we're playing tag.
Yeah. So okay. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, you're welcome. Good job, Mom.
Yay.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Homestay Kitchen, hosted by Mary Chan and Aaron Eastman. Produced by me, Mary Chan of Organized Sound Productions. Web and show notes by Aaron Eastman. Like what you're hearing? Write us a review wherever you listen. Or drop us an email at homestaykitchen@gmail.com. We would really appreciate it. For more information on this episode, visit homestaykitchen.com. And when you're ready to dish up your stories, connect with us on Instagram @homestaykitchen or on Facebook. Thanks for joining us.